Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 55 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. As always, I am one of your hosts, Emilson, and I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week we're hitting most just like recent events kind of things. We're going to talk about BlizzCon, which is coming up, and also go through some of the many hotfixes that we had, or hotfixes, other changes, news that has happened this week. So it might be a little bit on the shorter side. We'll see how much we like to guess what's going to happen at BlizzCon.
I like how we always start shows off with it. This one might be a little shorter, and 4.5 hours later. Yeah. 2 hours later, we're still here. So cool. Yeah, I guess we can jump right in. Real quick, take a quick step back. How are you feeling? I know you were a little sick under the weather. Are you feeling better this week?
Doing better.
Awesome.
Doing better.
Awesome.
Started feeling like vaguely normal again on like Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a lot better now. So
nice. How's your progression going? Do you guys have council down yet?
We killed council last week.
Awesome.
And did not actually quite finish our reclear last week. We ended up with Inerva left.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get to go and do Sludgefest, because what we did is we killed just the bosses that were necessary to go and progress council.
Mm-hmm.
And then we killed council, and then we went and back cleared, basically.
Oh, gotcha.
And so we had Darkvein left to kill, and we ended up deciding to extend at this point because we were very sure that we could make the DPS check on Sludgefest.
Yeah.
So yesterday we went in, one shot Darkvein, started on Sludgefest.
Nice. We had multiple half percentage point wipes this week to Sludgefest. Did not kill it.
Oh.
Spent an entire day on it with, I think we had 4 sub half percent wipes. So
we are not that far yet. We have reached the fourth pillar like once. It's been messy when we've gotten there, you know, like 4 people dead, and we're not killing it with 4 people dead at that point in the fight.
Yeah.
It's too tightly tuned, but we're getting there. Nice. I wouldn't be totally surprised to see a kill tomorrow.
Awesome.
Because we got another 4 hours on it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot can happen.
Yeah, no.
Might not be till next week.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. Well, awesome. Well, sorry, I wanted to take a quick step back, just see how that was going. And now we can jump into what happened this week. So a couple of things. Got on our little list here. First up is kind of an MDI weekend one. We'll talk about this one as a large sort of section, but it is MDI weekend. It's going on, I think, even right now as we record this, the final games of the day are. But only 8 teams are participating of the 8 that are needed.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I know that coming out of last week, there was a little bit of sort of, yeah, hey, this is a huge time commitment. I mean, even before the last one, right? Had JB Lighty from Golden Guardians quitting just basically because it took too much time, right?
It took too much time, and it was actually like negative money for him to do it. Because he couldn't, it was 5 days of streaming revenue lost while he did the time trials, and then the reward from winning the cup did not make up for it.
Exactly. So we saw sort of, you know, some inklings of that already. This sort of just, I think, you know, reinforces maybe this many competitive PvE events isn't what you need in Mythic Plus, right? Maybe it's better as sort of a end of season or like once a season larger scale tournament. Over multiple weeks, right?
So I'm gonna plug the Titan Forge podcast. They talked about this on their most recent episode, and Trell is an MDI competitor. I think Tettles and Dratnos both cast it.
They do.
So they have pretty good idea of what they're talking about, and like I think the one thing that Trell was very clear on was that the time trials needed to be not the entire week. And they needed to not have the actual games on Friday. Because if you can't actually play for that extended period of time on Friday, then you just can't compete.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, the timing I think is awful unless you, you know, you either are have, you know, you're in college, you have the time you can take, or you have a job where you can work around that schedule, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's, I think, yeah, all those things sort of go against it.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing where, like, if it were once, they could get away with doing it on a Friday because most people can afford to take maybe a day off of work every tier. Like, that's not that big of an ask to take a day off, and or even more than that, you know, take the week off.
Right.
Of work. Maybe that's a little bit of a big ask in the United States, but it's not that unreasonable if it happens once every tier or two tiers.
Right.
Once a week?
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough ask for somebody to have that much time off. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of teams participating, only eight. And I felt like it was the same, at least what I watched, right? I didn't watch any on Friday, or I caught maybe I caught the Echo and Golden Guardian series on Friday, or was that earlier today? I forget. But it's the same three teams, right? It's like PI, me,
yeah.
Echo, and Golden Guardians is like the only three teams that actually matter. So, I think the biggest thing, I think what they did this season in terms of like limiting class stacking, I think that's a good change, but the increase in the amount of like tournament days is just not helpful, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't think it increases the competition. It might increase viewership, right? Might increase more eyeballs like watching WoW esports and things like that, but in terms of like the quality of the games, I think it actually potentially ruins it, right?
Yeah, and it's one of those things too, where like they can do more frequent like PvP events, because I mean, you might get bored of watching the same, I don't know what, like Warrior, Holy Paladin X, right, smash into each other, melee cleave kind of games, or watching people get globaled by fire mages. Like, yeah, you might get bored of that over time, but even if they're playing the same comps in an arena match, every single match still has tension and is still interesting.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of MDI matches where it's like, you know, Echo versus number 8 seed. And
it's like, does Echo make
the number 8 seed is great and like upsets all of that. Sometimes Nagi clicks a Valkyr or whatever and gets sent back to the start of the zone. But a lot of the time, there's just no tension. And it's just like watching someone do a dungeon. Admittedly, doing the dungeon very quickly with some very large pulls.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we talked about this a little bit. I think there's a ton of UI changes, like regardless of the actual like cadence of it, like the UI in AWS Arena World Championship, so AWC, is honestly miles better than the UI for MDI, just in terms of like the spectator UI side of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's it's like maybe there's less people, like there's less you need to show, right? But I think there's a way that you can make it slightly more interesting and more easy for individuals to realize like the difficulty in doing some of these pulls. So yeah, I mean, it's I don't know.
I mean, honestly,
I think it's telling.
Like, I think it also is a little bit telling that, you know, I don't have numbers on this, but I'd be very surprised if the MDI this weekend had more viewers than that, what was it, Korean streamer, where they had almost 24 hour aspires.
That's true. It'd be interesting, like, the numbers they pull.
That was spectacle versus like, I don't know, competition, but every like competition needs spectacle for people to be interested, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, which, like, is why, I mean, which is why I tuned into to Golden Guardians and Echo, because I was like, well, this will be a good idea to see like the two best teams go at it. But like, I don't care about Golden Guardians, whoever they played in the first round, right? Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they'll do. It'll be interesting to see how MDI sort of filters out the rest of the year. But I mean, I think ultimately we're gonna end up with like the same 3 to 4 teams. Yeah, I think Lincoln mentions like Perplexed, right? So you got Perplexed, PI Me, which is Dr. J's team. Like Golden Guardians and then Echo, like those four sort of battle it out week over week. We'll see the same four at BlizzCon. At the end of the day, you know, either Echo wins or Echo makes a mistake, and whoever they make a mistake against wins, right? Like, I think that's how the MDI turns out this year, unfortunately. So,
it's unfortunate, but what I really hope doesn't happen, like, I could see it hitting the point that there's actually not even eight teams and just like one team gets a bye. And God. That's going to be there is no softening that bad news.
I think it's almost worth it for like someone like me to put together a team for a weekend and just try and get time trials done. And maybe I get to be on like the BlizzCon, you know what I mean? Like the Warcraft live stream for the however many people are there. And get, you know, the boy Dratnos, who was here on the podcast, you know, get my boy Dratnos to talk about how amazing I am at playing a healer.
Maybe the only Mistweaver in the NBI.
I would, you know what I mean? Like, look, we'll represent that way. Like, that may be my way in.
It actually kind of sounds like fun. Just be like the team name is going for completion.
Yeah. Or like weakening or lever.
Just like get into the MDI solely based on having completed each of the dungeons at level 18.
Yeah. Like that. I don't know. It might be a fun, like, I think if it gets to that point, if people start actually like memeing it, like that's when we have a problem. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely, if I had,
that sounds like fun actually. Your time trials keys have to actually be within the timer.
I don't think so. I think there is a limit, but like it doesn't have to be under it. Like there's like you, I don't know. We'd have to read the rules. Maybe that's something we talk about next
time. Because like I can do a plus 18, you know, whatever. Like it might not be in the timer, but we'll finish it.
Exactly. I have plenty of hours to give to this game. So
I have fewer hours right now, but I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. Like we get to be on MDI stream. Come on. God, but no, I think
hilarious.
It'd be pretty good.
I can't get over this image in my head of like the MDI casters having to go back and forth between like an actual MDI team, like playing against Echo, and they're like doing the actual MDI pulls, and then there's another team, there's us
like
there's like the normal live route time, you know, missing kicks, and it goes oh there's Emelson, he got one shot because he didn't roll out of the tank buster correctly in this one pack pull.
God, it'd be so good. But yeah, I mean, I think we're slowly approaching, like there's going to be a team like that at some point, I feel like. So
yeah.
Oh man. All right, well that's MDI. I think Echo's in the finals. I know Golden Guardians and Piami are going on right now, so gosh, it'll be interesting to see what they can do the next couple weeks. So all right, so next up on this week in Warcraft, we had a world first kill of the most difficult order for Blood Council, apparently. So they did, you know, Nick, Stave, and then Frida in that order, which
fucking madmen
is actually insane. So I funnily enough had to look this up.
Okay. Explain to me what happens in this version of the fight, because I didn't actually look any deeper than seeing the headline and going, what the fuck?
Yeah, so apparently when Freya is the last one alive, right? She gains she essentially gains this this like thing called soul spikes.
I know about that. So that's a mechanic that shows up on Heroic as well. So like phase two, she does the thing where like when you take damage from her, it spawns a puddle under you, right?
Right, exactly. Yep.
So that's like, you know, don't drop puddles in bad places. And then in phase three, she gets soul spike, which is a thing on the tank.
Right.
It just like hits them five times with a physical attack that like does increasingly more damage. And also does damage to the raid based on the amount of damage that the tank took. Except like Muzala, it ignores Stagger.
Exactly.
And Celestial Brew. So you cannot have a Brewmaster do that. You have to have another tank that has actual DR cooldowns.
Right, yeah. And I think you actually want to almost tank swap. Okay, I guess according to what I read, you want to tank swap in the middle of the soul spike.
You can't.
You can't? It's got a... No. Oh, interesting.
Okay. You apparently could on beta. You cannot right now.
Gotcha. Oh, fair enough. Then
continue casting on the initial target.
Gotcha. Okay. So then that's as far as I know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's like actually ridiculous, right? And then I don't is there anything new on Mythic? I think it's just the after images, right? So yeah. The one thing about the after image of Nicholas, right, is that he'll continue to spawn the dutiful attendants throughout the fight. So like, yeah, that's what you're dealing with after the fight. So in their order, they killed Nick first, or Nicholas first. So they basically had to deal with these attendants the entire time, which is like...
They still had the hardest mechanic from Nicholas.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just crazy. So, I mean, these guys did it. Good, more power to them. It's funny, I don't think they got any better loot, right? Like, I don't think this is one of those like council bosses where like the order you kill him, your loot's different. So,
man, imagine if they brought back hard modes and it was like hard mode, you know, council dropped 4 pieces instead of 2.
That'd be so good. That'd be awesome. God, that was those fights were so much fun. Like when was the first one, the Old War one with the 3 stone people. What's the name of that boss?
So Lincoln in chat is saying they had to do it because of group comp. They didn't have any DKs to grip in the attendants. You don't need DKs to grip in the attendants.
Wait, like, you can grip the attendants? Our DKs didn't do anything.
Like, you can grip them before they start channeling, I believe. Okay, I'm not entirely sure. Like, we just swap to them. Like,
yeah,
melee can get off. The DPS check at this point is not that tight. You can just have melee go and hit them. Like, they can waddle their way out there and hit them and then waddle back and it's fine.
Yeah.
There's one that's like pretty spicy because it overlaps with some other things happening at the very end during when you're killing Nicholas in the normal strat. But it's like you still get the attendance even if you kill Nicholas first.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. So that didn't really change anything.
The waiters, like, you don't kill waiters in phase 3. You kill them in phase 2. But phase 3, like, you just don't touch them because if you enrage the big guy, you die.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess like the idea is then the biggest issue is that just Frida's stuff. I always want to say Freya, but Frida's, you know, 1 boss dead and 2 boss dead abilities are just honestly annoying. I guess it's the space issue is probably the biggest one, right?
Yeah. I know there's ways to cheese Soul Spike. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, it goes through immunes, but like there's several classes with really big low cooldown DR abilities. Like you can Fiery Brand it and take much less damage. Fiery Brand plus Demon Spikes is very large. So that one actually is not as bad as it seems in terms of just like raid damage.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like space, I don't know. That sounds spooky.
It's sad. Like, I know that we're still terrible at Dark Recital when we have to like, there's that one point we have to do it with the knockback of the ad and like the final push.
Yeah.
And, like, we still lose people to that. So I'm like, I can't imagine having to like constantly reshift. So, but that,
for reference, like, we just killed Council last week. We did it with 1 DK. Yes. Okay. So 1 DK, therefore you could, I don't even know if attendants are grippable. I guess they probably are, and we just didn't know. We didn't grip any.
Like, yeah. We just kind of
parked their asses out there, and we killed them.
Yeah.
So we didn't really use the grips. We did use grabby hands at the end of phase 2 to grip in waiters and kill those, mm-hmm. which is, again, good, but, you know, we had just, I don't know, use boomkins.
Yeah.
Any range they can swap and kill the waiters. We actually had to stop DPS on Stavros to push at the right time so that we wouldn't have an attendant spawn in the middle of our bloodlust, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah, we try and do that. Our DPS isn't very good at stopping. So
yeah. We got our kill, we actually screwed it up too.
Nice, yeah. The nice part about that boss too, just as a quick aside, is that like it's super easy now for some reason. Like, we one-shot it this week on our second kill, so.
We are not re-clearing right now. We extended. I still think that's the correct choice from, trying to get rankings, yeah. I know, for, you know.
I think so, too. Because I think you can get Sludge. I think you can get Council and Sludge in the same week. Like, that's an easy, like, Sludge is, like, a 4 or 5 hour boss, I feel like. In terms of like where, at least where I sit, right? So, you know, similar to you. So,
yeah.
But they did the crazy order. It's nuts. So, All right, so next up we have tank damage nerfs across the board. So essentially, this was something that was announced, I think, on Monday, right? Yes. And essentially, a blanket nerf to every dungeon. Essentially, there was a reduction in tank damage going out from a various number of abilities.
Missed the most important one.
Which was?
You said a blanket nerf, but
yes.
Honestly, like, a lot of these are totally irrelevant. They're not, I guess that's right. Okay. They're not totally irrelevant. They kill tanks. Like, let's be real. They kill tanks. But you know what really kills tanks? Auto attacks.
Gotcha. So this is all just, yeah, gotcha. So it's mostly ability-based nerfs.
Like, there are packs that I am scared of that do not have, that are not at all impacted by these changes.
Gotcha.
Auto attacks hurt. Especially, okay. there are mobs that have very fast auto attack speeds, but don't always have the correct damage reduction applied to their auto attacks to make up for it. There's a couple that hit really fast, I think, in Spires. And it's just, I don't know. Some of these are really good. Like, Insidious Venom in Spires of Ascension now gets cast less often. Applies a dot. It's kickable. The dot is a magic dot and can be dispelled by your healer. But they cast it so often. It was really annoying. Like, okay, MDI team's not going to have a problem with it, as we saw.
Oh, yeah.
Pugs, though? Asking pugs to get kicks? Ooh.
So yeah. I love the kick tracker I have that doesn't show people's names until they kick. So like I love looking at that like 75% of the way through the dungeon and seeing like some melee DPS not on that list. I'm just like, dude, can you just like kick once? Like just we've been in here for literally 15-20 minutes. Like you've had to have found a chance to kick something. So
yeah. I mean I did the other side or tried to. We got to the pack before the Hakar wing that has the caster in it, the big caster, the cast Shadow Core.
Yep.
I was the only person kicking. Like, we had a boom. I take that back. We had a boomkin. They used their kick, but it's on a 1 minute cooldown.
Yeah.
So then once I started kiting, nobody was kicking and I just died and then the group disbanded. And I went back in with a different group and everybody was kicking and it was completely fine. It turns out if your group kicks, everything's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are some things in here that are not kickable that were reduced by 40 to 50% damage. People are freaking out over there's a Zolramus Bone Carver in the Necrotic Wake. Bone Flay Bleed damage reduced by 70% and duration reduced from 20 seconds to 10 seconds. Like people are seeing that and going, 70%? Holy shit.
Yeah.
The ability was also bugged, so the bleed damage was reduced by armor art. Bugged. Bleeds aren't typically reduced by armor, so this one is actually less of a nerf than, like, it actually impacts Brewmasters more than anything else because of low armor.
Right.
So this is a lot bigger for us, but something like a Prop Paladin or Warrior with higher armor is going to feel less of that change. But then there's stuff like Corroded Claws from Plaguefall reduced by 50%, Soul Split from Tyrant of Scythe reduced by 40%, Severing Slice from Sanguine Depths reduced by 50%, Oh, Sanguine Depths, the animated swords have really, really bad autos. I think they might be magic damage. They're really, really bad. So you still have to kite because they have the swords. And like once the swords comes out, it's sayonara. Either you're dying or you're running.
Right, right.
It's really bad. But yeah, these are all good changes. They are not nearly enough. Not even a little bit close.
Yeah.
Although I am very happy about the other associated change, bosses in Tyrannical now have 30% increased health instead of 40%.
That's a really good change.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Bosses, I mean, yeah.
Some I don't like Tyrannical.
Forever. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it wasn't, it was less of a like, yeah. It just, I don't know. I feel like with Fortified, like the boss length just feels right. And then as you add that 30% health, it just, certain bosses become so much more difficult just with like certain phases lasting longer.
Oh man, Hikar got so much harder because if you're not familiar with how the fight works, he starts casting the shields with increased frequency, with increased, or maybe not, it's either size or frequency or both. Mm-hmm. But that means the longer the fight goes on, it's not necessarily 40% more. Because all those later shields are bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
So now instead of it being 40% longer, it's maybe 60 or 80% longer because of those larger shields. And when you start reaching the point that you actually don't break the shield before he finishes channeling, you're in for a bad time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. Yeah, that. And even like the last boss in Theater of Pain can be annoying with, depending on how you push that final phase, like it pushed the 50% mark with her. And then like just some of the overlaps there are just like awful. So
yeah.
I mean solid changes, at least in some of the reduction. It sounds like it was not as big as I thought it was. I saw all these changes, I was like, oh, this is great. But yeah, it sounds like it was just on some potential abilities that it didn't matter anyway. So
well, I would like to see just a blanket 20% reduction in auto attack damage taken across the board from trash mobs. They can start with trash mobs. Bosses probably deserve it too, but trash mobs, start there. And like 20%, I feel, is probably too low for some of these pulls.
Right.
But it's a start.
Yeah.
There's some dungeons is probably fine. Some dungeons is maybe not enough, but it's a start.
Fair enough. So, I mean, maybe we'll see some more adjustments, but yeah, I can tell you for sure, like my desire to run keys is a lot lower. And we think we've talked about this. So
yeah, I haven't run a key this week. I capped out my PvP row. I'm unable to get mythic loot from the raid row because we're extending, which is fantastic.
That sucks.
But I capped out my PvP row, and I can only get 213 gear from it right now still because I haven't had time to push 1800, but here we are.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. All right. So as we move on, the next up was they made a quick change. This is just a quick one, but Vantus runes got buffed also with the reset. So they are now 100 of versatility instead of 40. It's a very solid change. I mean, at 40, it's
30, it is 2.5% damage increase instead of 1%.
Right. Yeah.
And for reference, the Vantus runes at the end of BFA were either 2% or 2.5%. So
it just probably, you know, brought them back up to parity. So,
So basically at the end of BFA, we had very similar Vantus runes to what we have now. I don't know why it was decreased. It's probably just an oversight while they were rescaling secondary stats. Tuned it down too much.
Yeah. It's weird that they're just catching up to something like that now, but yeah. Is what it is at this point. So but yeah, I just wanted to quickly pop that one up. We also had another quick one, just LFR wing 4 open, so now all the casuals can kill Sarah Denathrius.
I cannot wait to see /WoW going on about Denathrius. It's going to be Nazoth bad.
Yeah, no, but not that bad. But it'll be interesting. I kind of, part of me wants to jump in just to see how it's going, maybe tonight after we get done here. But yeah, they open that wing up. So get your kills. Actually, the biggest thing too is that opens. It's not just Denathrius, right? Who is in this wing? I actually didn't check.
It should be Denathrius and Stone Legion generals. Maybe Sludgefist as well. It's usually two bosses for the last wing.
Yeah, so it's Stone Legion and Denathrius. So that way, you know, get the rest of the biggest thing would be get any legendary patterns you're missing, right, from Stone Legion. So,
That's actually really kind of good for alt. It's getting a normal run is on an alt that's relatively fresh is still a little bit of a pain because people are so stingy about inviting low eye level characters because so many pugs are carried by eye level. So if you do need one on an alt and you don't want to find a normal pug, you can do LFR. It's probably going to be faster than suffering through a normal pug, but also gears worse.
Yeah. But it'll be, that is now open. More content, you can see the end of the story, at least for yourself, if you haven't watched anything earlier, so. Which now I know a lot more about the story.
Yeah.
All right, so other big news is the Horde Hall of Fame closed today. Of course, the Hall of Fame is first 100 guilds of either faction go into the Hall of Fame, first 100 guilds that have killed the mythic version of the end boss of the tier go into a Hall of Fame. Your guild gets a really cool guild title when that happens. You're sort of immortalized on the Blizzard website and your guild sort of kills listed there. So the Horde one closed this week. The Alliance one is close. At the time that the Horde one closed, there was 12 Alliance guilds that had killed Sire Denathrius. So there was, 88 spots open? So
we have not seen something this low since Uldir. Uldir had 12. The other BFA tiers had more, but not that much more.
So as of this recording, though, I will give the Alliance the benefit of the doubt. They have pushed this week, and there is 24 guilds now that have killed.
Oh, that's actually more than I expected.
Yeah. It's funny. Only two guilds from the Americas have been added to this list. And then you have 2, 4, 5 guilds from Europe have added into those additional 12. So it's about 7 of the 12 from those two regions. And then the rest are from the West. So from either China or Taiwan, actually.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of, I don't know if we talked about this, but there was a little bit of a funny thing that came out when this was posted, which was that a lot of the Chinese guilds that are killing Denathrius now have basically cleared the entire raid in a week. Essentially, all of their kills are within 1 week from a mythic perspective. They all have only one kill of the boss. So there's a little bit, and I can't back this up with any actual evidence, but there are some insinuations that, you know, folks are basically, you know, creating guilds and selling the Hall of Fame title to folks. So see what that.
Yeah,
what,
I mean, this has been that's been something that people have speculated about for a long time, because those titles are worth something to someone.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, that is a Horde Hall of Fame close. So get your kills in this week if you're trying to. I know there's a few guilds the Overtime Police has been keeping an eye on, maybe that have been putting a couple extra hours in this weekend just to get in there. But yeah, as of reset, Horde Hall of Fame's closed.
This is actually one that was super awkward from a EU NA perspective as well, because the day that the 100th guild killed it was Tuesday.
Right.
Which meant that NA actually has until this coming reset on Tuesday in order to get their Denathrius kill in and get Hall of Fame. EU had until Wednesday, like this previous Wednesday.
Yep.
So there's actually a almost entire 1 week difference in who could get in the Hall of Fame comparing NA to EU. It's really awkward.
Yeah, yeah. The EU definitely missed out on a reset for this one. So yeah, it sucks for the EU. It sucks for that we have that sort of split, you know, reset. I understand the reasonings, but yeah, Horde Hall of Fame still, there's closed. Alliance still very much open. You have essentially 75 spots to get in there. So maybe reroll some Alliance characters. You have a couple weeks if you want Hall of Fame. All right, cool. All right, so real quick before we go to the final one, just one little, you put this fun fact on here. I feel like I knew this, but I'm going to be honest, I'm going to say I did not know this, but
I had forgotten this.
Yeah, but like, basically,
I knew this during beta.
Yeah.
They added Curse of Weakness back, and I forgot about it. So Curse of Weakness, if you don't know what it does, actually, let me pull it up real quick so I don't get the little tip wrong. It basically says your auto attacks hit less frequently. And yeah, increases the time between an enemy's attacks by 20% for 2 minutes on an instant. It's a curse. All of the Warlock curses are utility now, so there's not a damage loss for using it like there would have been back in Classic. And this works on raid bosses. And that's pretty good. A large share of damage on tanks in raid comes from auto attacks. So throwing up Curse of Weakness, it doesn't literally say reduce incoming tank damage by 20%, but on a lot of fights, it's going to be something like 10% reduced damage on the tanks. It's very good.
Which we hear, Joe.
It stacks with Rogue's Numbing Poison, which is another 20% reduction. So if you apply both of those, for example, Sludge Fist's swing timer goes from every 1.5 seconds to every 2.1 seconds. Which is actually, so
it's pretty good.
It is a reduction in damage taken by the tanks, if you apply both of them, of over 20% on Sludge Fist. It's actually like giving your both tanks Iron Bark for the entire fight.
That's actually pretty crazy. I did not realize that. Man, I'm going to talk to my guild to see what we're doing. Because this could be.
I would not be surprised if your Warlocks are using it. Ours weren't, because they didn't realize it worked on raid bosses. They will be now.
Yeah.
But our rogue wasn't using numbing poison, so again, same kind of thing. Didn't realize it worked on raid bosses. But we're gonna be going back in both of those, and just like Sludge Fist hurts. Like, it's not like Enerva kinds of Enerva hurts tanks, but it's a very dumb magic dot that you can't do anything about.
Right, yeah.
Sludge Fist autos them. And so this is especially good on Sludge Fist. But it's good on all raid bosses, but it's especially good on Sludge Fist.
All right, I will bring that up. I've learned something today. This is amazing. Awesome. So yeah, so that's really cool. I can't wait to actually test this out, because I'm hoping they don't do anything with it, but knowing my luck, it'll probably get fixed on Tuesday.
They seem to be allergic to making classes share utility, so...
Right.
I would imagine they're just going to leave it as it is.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That would be cool. That would help, definitely. In terms of tank damage, for sure.
Yeah. I wish we had known this earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I know in if you were paying attention on Limit stream, they had Warlocks using Curse of Weakness. They were keeping that up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I missed that, but apparently they were.
Gotcha. Good to know. It's a fun fact, you know? Nice little fun fact. Excuse me. Cool. So yeah, so we'll definitely check that out moving forward. So final thing on the what happened last week is essentially BlizzCon line, which is BlizzCon Online.
Yeah.
It's coming up over the weeks, a couple or 2 weeks now, right? We'll sort of talk in a little bit more detail later, but just real quick up top is they did add the goodie bags, like the virtual ticket that if you couldn't attend BlizzCon, you'd get a bunch of virtual items. You've purchased the virtual ticket along with being able to watch it. And on the flip side, if you actually purchased a BlizzCon ticket, it was included in like the goodie bag you got when you did your registration and check in. But it's a bunch of digital items for all their games. Every game is included, I think, in this one.
Yeah.
In terms of like something you get, even Heroes of the Storm, which I didn't realize they were still supporting at all.
There's a bunch of people in my guild that still play it.
Oh, okay.
Like, we had people after raid last night. Somebody went HOTS, and like four people were like, sure.
So. Interesting. Okay. Sorry. Did not mean, sorry. The HOTS community
I alive and strong. Even so, I haven't joined them, but.
Yeah. But yeah, so they, a bunch of different goodies. I will say the World of Warcraft items, top tier. You get an ice bear that basically poops out snowball piles you can pick up and throw at each other. It's great. The special animation looks like an animation out of Frozen, the movie, of course. So awesome mount. The pet is okay, although I guess the pet is a throwback to the BC collector's edition pet, which has some implications. We'll talk about that. We're not gonna talk about that here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, it's a bunch of different interesting items. They also on the same day dropped a new mount for any 6 month subs. So if you have a 6 month recurring sub, you get a golden pig.
No. It's an ox.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Golden ox. That its special animation kind of reminds me of Squeakers, where it like jumps up and spins in the air and then comes back down. But when it lands, like gold coins pop out of it, which I find really funny.
It's not the most inspired one compared to the previous year's ones. Like, it is very reminiscent of the year of the pig and year of the rat?
Yeah.
Mounts, which is Squeakers and the pig from last year. But it is one of only two ox mounts in the game right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It looks pretty cool, but yeah, the BlizzCon pack is out. Like I said, there's other stuff for other games than that. There's like Hearthstone cards, if you play that. There's skins in Overwatch and skins in Heroes of the Storm for certain heroes. So if you want that, check it out. There's like three different levels of stuff you can buy, ranging from like, what is it, like $40 to $60? So it's like $40, $50, and $60, I think.
Yeah. I don't remember. Is BlizzCon this year free to watch for everyone, or do you still need the virtual ticket?
No, so they'll stream it free on BlizzCon.com, I guess, or whatever the BlizzCon or Battle, whatever the BlizzCon website is. But yeah, the actual streams are free. They're gonna do, I think it's definitely more of a like panel thing where they're gonna have like basically five or six different streams And so you basically can tune it at a certain time for your presentation that you want to see.
Yeah. Very similar to how it was in person where you'd have the different stages.
Right, right. Yeah.
That you go to.
Yeah. So it'll be all virtual this time. I don't know if I'm assuming they'll do VODs of some sort, but it's free to watch. So I think it's not this weekend coming up. So it's the weekend of the 20th or 19th and 20th, I think, that week. So, but yeah, cool items. I literally purchased it the minute it came out because I'm a sucker. The most expensive pack, by the way, comes with 30 days of WoW game time. So, and the difference between the top one and the second one is about $20. So like, if you think about your WoW subscription is $15, if you play WoW, you enjoy WoW, it's only an extra $5 for like, to get the more expensive one, which I don't know what's in it. I think you get extra Hearthstone cards, but you get 30 days of game time. I don't know, dude. I don't know. Yeah. I just bought it.
I got the 6 month mount because I have a 6 month sub because that's what WoW Analyzer covers after the Patreon fees.
Yeah.
So I have that. So I just got the mount, which is nice. I've gotten like 3 or 4 mounts in that, just like another 6 years, and I'll get my 250 mounts just from the 6 month sub.
Look at you. You're getting up there. But yeah, I think that's going to wrap us up for everything that happened last week. Before we jump into, I think we had two sort of topics we're going to talk about today. We'll talk about BlizzCon and really just more of our speculation, but we'll see. First up, I did want to touch on, it's something I think we brought up together, was on basically Max. So Limit Max, the GM or guild master, raid leader extraordinaire Max, has started a YouTube channel, or really started posting more to his YouTube channel, right? And a lot of it is on like discussions around like raid leading, guild structure, guild communications, like picking your officers. It's a very, very, you know, good set of videos and interesting topics where he sort of gives his opinion or his sort of viewpoint of like how he runs certain things in Limit, which I find like super interesting. So I think the first three videos he did, the first one was like, what is raid leading? Which is sort of like a very basic overview of what that role entails. And then he deep dives into like how to have effective communication, which is something you apply outside of even a WoW guild, which is cool.
He actually does make the connection a couple times. So like this also applies in business. A lot of it does, like efficient management of people and like clear communication.
Yeah.
Those are life skills.
Exactly. So he goes over that. He goes over like how he picks officers. And then what was the last one I just watched? Went over like a UI things, like what to see in a UI from a raid leading perspective. And there's also a fun video of him like raid leading undercover. So he like basically. Oh, that's
really great.
Yeah, basically sort of tries to raid lead a heroic sire kill.
No. He doesn't try and raid lead it.
Oh.
He's undercover. He's not raid leading at all. He's just playing Windwalker, coincidentally. He's in there trying to get a pug heroic Denathrius kill in without people realizing who he is.
Gotcha.
Which is slightly undermined by the fact that he's on Maxi Babe, his monk, that has like a not a world first, but the world second kill, multiple tiers.
Yeah.
And also is under the complexity limit guild tag. So
not that much undercover.
Not that undercover. I won't spoil it. It is well worth a watch. It's a fun video. It's the kind of video where you like, you know, you're going and doing your dailies or whatever, you can put that on and watch that on the side, like, or even just listen to it. It's just fun.
Yeah, that was a good one. But yeah, I mean, definitely just to highlight the videos that he has done, they're very interesting, like just things to watch in terms of like how he goes about thinking about things. I think a lot of it you can take and like apply to either your guild or like even in certain cases like how you just function around people, right? I think it's a good little series. I hope he continues.
Yeah, me too. As someone that is now I will say interim raid leader for my raid team, that these are very timely. So
that's how, so I mean, now that we're sort of on the topic, how are you enjoying it? Because to be fair, I had thought you raid led before this.
So the way it was before is I was one of those kind of wear many hats kind of officers doing a bunch of different things. And I did some calls to help out, but very minimal. I mostly did my own thing with varying degrees of success. And we had another player that was raid leading that handled a lot of the strategy, setting comps, and actually leading in raid. And they decided to call it quits over the past week. So last night was the first night that I was raid leading. Nice. Thankfully, it's on Sledgefist, which is a, I won't, like, it's not an easy boss, but it's not a complicated boss.
Right, yeah.
So that's a good get your feet wet kind of thing. And we're still figuring out, like, we're talking along the team what we want to do about raid leading, whether we want me to continue doing it. I kind of suspect I'm going to end up continuing to do it until, like, we finish the tier, and then we'll figure it out for real. But, you know, if we get to Stone Legion and, like, I can't do both things at once, then, which has been a problem in the past, me doing multiple things at once has not gone well historically. we'll see what happens when we hit Stone Legion or one of the, you know, a boss that is more complicated than the same mechanics repeated twice, or not twice, five times over a 5-minute fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did actually, like, his UI video came out a couple days before raid, and I was like, I really should actually redo my UI so I can do this more effectively. Yeah. Because my UI is, like, it's fine. It's been fine. It's been serviceable. And I did a bunch of cleanup to it, moved my raid frames so to where I could see them more easily, and, like, moved my big wig stuff around and moved my buffs and debuffs around so I could see stuff better. Mm-hmm. And more easily make calls because the timers are actually more visible now. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. That was always, I raid led for only a tier, like, fully by myself. And that was back in, what was the tier before? BlackRock Foundry, BRF. And that was not fun. I think the worst part for me about raid leading isn't, like, the in-game calls are generally pretty good, right? Like, I'm fine doing that once I get into, like, the mode of, like, all right, I gotta call this stuff here. I do it today in my current guild, mostly for healer cooldowns, right?
Yeah.
So for, like, council, it was like I was calling what groups were ready for cooldowns, each sort of the dancing fevers, right? The problem I always had, at least when we were going through BRF, was, like, getting to a boss, having a strategy in mind, and then it not going well, and, like, having to make that call of, like, yeah, is it we need to make an adjustment to the strategy, or do we need to execute the strategy better?
Right. And that's actually, so that's been something that I've been contributing to for a long time. That's gotcha. So when I was promoted to officer in my guild, it was specifically to do log review stuff. So on break during raid night and in between raid nights, you know, looking at logs, figuring out what's going wrong, and whether it's just a, like, play better, don't stand in the bad kind of problem, or a, this is actually, like, a strategy level problem, and if we change how we're approaching this, it'll make it a lot easier.
Right.
So I've been doing that for a while. So I feel like I have a better grasp on that, but at the same time, like, we actually have a very good environment, I would say, on my team. It's very collaborative of people being like, hey, can we try this? Can we do this? Like, one of our melee last night was on Sledgefist on the second pillar. He was like, after we finish the burn, they have to spread. And he's like, we should try all having the melee stack in this corner just, like, for a second, because we always get falling debris on us. And if it lands on the boss, it's really annoying for positioning. And so they tried it, and so far it's been 100% success rate that they've always baited that debris over in that corner. And it's just made melee positioning on that pillar so much better.
You can do it after the third pillar too, by the way.
Yeah, I think he's doing it for that as well, but I don't remember. So yeah, it's been going well so far, but I'm very wary of how quickly things could go sideways once we hit Stone Legion.
Yeah, I never minded, like, the in game leading, like, of calls and watching timers and stuff like that, just because I generally have to do it as a healer anyway for certain things. So, like, I'm already there. It was always that sort of, like, making a determination of, like, in the moment, doesn't make sense to change this.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing. Like there's still a raid night on Maidens in BRF where I can remember us like literally fighting with someone about changing something. I'm like, look, this is an execution issue. You guys just need to play better. Like we're not wiping. Like I'm looking at the logs. I'm like, we're not dying because the strat is bad. I'm like, you're literally dying because you're not dodging something or you're not like DPSing the turrets enough. I forget what it was. Because on that fight on the mythic mechanic, there was like one of the bosses put a turret that would shoot around and you had to like kill it to like limit damage. Like, you're just not killing it fast enough, or you're just not dodging enough. And like, I don't know. And that was always like, to me, raid leading, like that part of it, I did not enjoy as much as like putting together the strategy, like sitting down and being like, all right, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
It was like the adjustment side I was always bad at. So,
and that's one thing actually. So one thing he hasn't covered yet, but well, and this is something I don't know if he will cover because they kill things first.
Right.
So one of the things I do or I try to do before every boss is go through and figure out what other guilds wipe to. What's killing them so that I know like what's killing them, and then ideally if I can also figure out, you know, what did they change to do it. And sometimes it's just execution things. Like sometimes bosses have these hard execution things to just kill people. And sometimes it's, you know, you can look at one night's logs and they'll be dying over and over again to, I don't know, say Dark Recital.
Yeah.
And then you'll look at the next night's logs and their Dark Recital deaths are down by like 70%. And it's like, okay, what changed?
Right.
So doing that kind of thing before you go in raid can help you figure out, is this a strat change we need to make? Or is this just an execution issue?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that is the one area that I think I'm not good at, but luckily I don't raid lead anymore. So
yeah,
I just do call outs. I watch timers. So, but yeah, I'm excited for more of these videos. I think this will be really interesting. It's a really interesting space that I think Max is like uniquely positioned to be able to like put together an opinion on. Because number one, I think he has very good takes, and you know, a lot of his opinions, or at least the way he approaches things, seems very level headed and sort of in the right mind space, right? And number two, he's also the best at what he does. So
yeah. Number three, he's also actually like pretty, like, I don't know if entertaining is the right word, but he's fun to listen to. He has these moments where he like says, like starts an analogy, realizes it's extremely dumb, and then finishes it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, it's just kind of fun to listen to.
He's definitely
of all the people that I've seen start YouTube channels, he's got the strongest start.
For sure,
I don't think there's been any of the videos that he's put out this past week that I've looked at and been like, they've all been
The only thing I haven't watched, I know he's put out a couple of strat videos, so he has a Hunger and Destroyer strat video, and I think he's got another boss or two up there too. I have not watched those just because we've already killed them, so like,
yeah,
I don't know if we'll do it, but yeah, I mean the idea would be, or sorry, the it'd be interesting to see how that's something that they continue to do and maybe put out sooner rather than later, right, in terms of like getting their progression notes and why they did certain things out there. So but yeah, I mean that's the Max stuff. I think just more to come on his YouTube stuff. I think it's just really, I'm actually excited. Like, I don't want, well, a lot of my YouTube watching is like Factorio and now Dyson Sphere program builds and like people doing like things like that. So this might be, you know, the third thing that sort of slides in there. So
yeah,
also a lot of grass cutting videos. Apparently the YouTube algorithm thinks I want to watch people cut grass.
That's very weird.
It's oddly, I oddly do that.
So it doesn't just think you want to, you do want to.
Yeah, now I'm into, so a little aside here, as we talk about my YouTube algorithm, not only is it grass cutting videos, but it's people cutting down trees, but like big trees where they need like a crane. So it's like a dude they lift into the tree and he wraps a rope around the top of the tree.
It's actually just like Factorio IRL videos.
Yes, it is. It's like people systematically like destroying something or like cleaning up. Oh, dude, there's this one house that this guy cut grass on where like he edged this thing. And like the before was like all this grass overgrowing, but then he edged it. It was like perfectly straight lines. I loved it. But yeah, that's, so in any event, sorry.
The YouTube algorithm has got you figured out.
Kind of. And then there's like the odd, what is it? It's some like it's like odd, like social media influencer videos of them freaking out about something. And I don't know that I don't watch. It just sort of pops in there. But yeah.
Yeah, those ones pop in everybody's feed. I'm pretty sure it's just because they get a lot of views.
But yeah, the grass cutting, tree cutting. I learned actually so fun. God, this is going to sound so weird. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I watched a video of the different notches you can make when you cut out a tree. So like I learned about like why they make the wedge, right? And when they do the back cut, you're not supposed to cut all the way through the tree, because what you want is that the fibers in the middle of the, oh God, I just hit my mic. The fibers in the middle of the tree to basically slowly let the tree fall over. And those fibers sort of slow the impact so the tree doesn't slam and crack. You want it to sort of just like slide and lay. And that way it's easier to cut up when it's on the ground.
Yeah, today I learned.
So if you're
either prepared for when I quit my job, move to the Yukon and become a lumberjack.
Yeah. Next time you want to cut down a tree, just let me know. I can teach you all about the different notches that they have there. Back cuts or, you know, God.
Yeah.
This is crazy. So in any event, sorry. Off the tree cutting, off the YouTube algorithm. But yeah, that's Max's stuff. I think, you know, go check it out for sure. I think it'll be good the rest of the time. So. So next up was, and sorry, did you have a BlizzCon speculation? Yeah. So I was just making sure we could move on.
Yeah.
So BlizzCon,
I mean, let's really hear about my weird YouTube recommendations, but I think we've all had those weird ones. So
yeah. Yeah. So BlizzCon coming up, in 2 weeks. So generally speaking, this will be the big announcements for a lot of different stuff for the year. We do know a couple of things going into this, so I'll kind of take this off the table. Activision had their earnings call. I think it was earlier this week. Announced basically two really big things: Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, both not coming out in 2021. It looks like Diablo 4 is going to be a 2022 release. So we expect maybe some, you know, maybe gameplay, maybe just more trailers for those, but no releases, no demos, no announcement of a release in the next calendar.
So for Diablo 4, they had a demo. I guess it was technically not last year, but last BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. They had a playable demo of one class. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like a playable demo of D4 that's got the same class with all the updates in, and then maybe one other class that's like somewhat playable.
Gotcha.
Actually, you know what? I don't think they'll do that, because they had those on the stage floor. I don't think we'll get any playable demos of upcoming games.
We might. I mean, I would say that we might get more gameplay in D4, but yeah. I think D4 will end up being like a sizzler reel, as they call them. Yeah. It's basically like, here's some of the new stuff we're doing, maybe some of the new tech, some of the new, like, you know, UI or graphic elements. But I think D4 will just generally be a, here is an update of what we're doing, right? Yeah. Maybe we take this like property by property, so we talk about all the Diablo stuff, so that way we're not like jumping back and forth.
Yeah,
kind of do this on the fly. But yeah, so that's what I think we're gonna get for Diablo 4.
A lot of
yeah, that's why I was thinking about like, where else are we gonna talk about this and this and this. So yeah, that's what I think for Diablo 4, we end up with just literally just an update on how they're doing.
Yeah,
I don't think we get a demo. We don't get nothing in our hands other than some maybe some cool video of like, here's some new you know, in-engine stuff. The other Diablo stuff. So we have Diablo Immortal, the phone game, you have a phone, don't you, guy? Which I feel so bad for that dude.
I feel bad for him. I would love to see him get back on the stage and be like, oh, by the way, it's out now.
Because,
yeah. Like, what if people have your phone? It's gone.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing dailies, but let's be real.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, so I think we get an Immortal. So Immortal did have a technical alpha late last year, right? So I'm assuming we get a release date for Diablo Immortal. And I mean, people who played that technical alpha said it was good. Like, said it was actually fun. So I'm actually kind of excited about this. I don't play many games on my phone because I don't go anywhere. So like, my actual computers.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, I went out for the first time in 2 weeks today, do grocery shopping and go to the laundromat, and going to proceed to stay inside for the next couple weeks.
The next 2 weeks, yeah. But I'm kind of excited. So I think we end up, the crazy prediction would be that we get the game during BlizzCon, but I think we end up just getting a release date for it, for Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
That's sort of what the final game looks like, probably a ton more information on it.
I would actually not be super surprised to see a release during BlizzCon, just because that seems like one of the like, that's the redemption arc, right? They went from the massively negative feedback from the Diablo Immortal announcement at BlizzCon 2 years ago,
right?
3 years ago, to now, you know, 3 years later. Oh, by the way, it's out now. Like, that's the end of their presentation. The release date they put up on the screen, and it's actually just today.
Right. Yeah. I'd be so down for that too. I think that'd be pretty cool. And I think, like I said, I'm excited about this game. Just based on like some of the feedback I heard during the technical alpha from people that had a chance to play it. So
it's the kind of game that I would actually play on my phone, you know?
Yeah.
And I trust Blizzard to not load it with ads and like pay to win microtransactions. Like, WoW has microtransaction stuff. Overwatch does. Like, Overwatch is like the original loot box game almost.
Yeah.
So they've definitely got the microtransactions, and I expect those. But they're not like, they've been very good about not having them be power.
Right, yeah. Or like gating, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because I stopped playing mobile games because I hate getting nickeled and dimed.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, just quick aside on mobile games, I have the Apple Arcade thing, which is like their subscription service, just because I have the Apple Plus family plan thing for all the other stuff that, like, my kids love Apple TV. Anyway, and aside, the arcade thing's really cool because those are actually games that like don't generally contain that type of stuff, and they're high quality, so they're higher quality. And it seems like they're free, even though I spend, I don't know what it is, like $20 a month for like every service. But yeah.
I mean, I would love if we get Diablo Immortal and there's just like no microtransactions in it.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be interesting. But that's the Immortal. So, you know, sounds like we're both sort of saying like probably the release date for sure, potentially a release day of, which would be interesting. And the other thing I had on my list was Diablo 2 Remake.
This is speculation, but so
it's, I don't know if it's speculation, but I know that I read an article, not an article, but I read, I think, the Forbes article that came out around the Vicarious Visions. So quick step back, Vicarious Visions, which was a studio under Activision, has been folded into Blizzard, essentially taking over the old Blizzard Classic or Blizzard Team 1 position. So there's no more a Blizzard Team 1. It is now just Vicarious Visions. That team was handling essentially all their classic games. So like Warcraft 3 Reforged and that dumpster fire, HOTS, or Heroes of the Storm, I think, you know, slides under that, and a couple other things, right? And what they're saying is, you know, potentially Diablo 2 Remake also in the works by Vicarious Visions, which I'm hopeful. I mean, Vicarious Visions has a very good track record in terms of like what they have worked on, the games that they have produced, right? So it's good to see at least a good developer picking this up. But
yeah,
we'll see if it was a developer issue or it was just a publisher / Blizzard issue with like, we care more about getting something out the door than something that's good, right? I don't actually think we hear anything about Diablo 2 Remake. I think it's way too soon. If anything, like they might pull the whole like Skyrim thing where they just flash up a logo at the end and say Diablo 2 Remake and like that's it, right? Bethesda the Skyrim people?
Yeah,
didn't they do that like two or three Bethesda cons ago where they just like flashed up the whatever the Skyrim, what is that series even called?
Elder Scrolls.
They flashed up like the Elder Scrolls 6 logo and was like, we're making one. Of course you're fucking making an Elder Scrolls 6. Skyrim has made you $1 billion.
It is going to make them several billion more by the time they stop re-releasing it.
Yeah, exactly. But in any event, I think that's about the extent we get for a Diablo 2 remake, is like maybe a logo that says we're working on it, but like nothing else. I'd be very surprised if we see any sort of actual...
I could see us, maybe this is me being optimistic, I could see us getting a little bit more. Like, if you think about, there's two ways you can look at the relationship between the D2 remake, potentially, and the acquisition or merging of Vicarious Visions. One of them is they are merging Vicarious Visions in, and they are now starting work on D2 in earnest.
Right.
The other way is that work on D2 has already been underway. It was like another project that was kind of, they were contracted on, and someone just went, they're working on the Blizzard core property. Why aren't they in Blizzard?
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. Why not?
Just get us in there.
I could see us getting a little bit more on D2, given the, I don't know. I am curious to see what we get from Diablo. I got Diablo 3 for free back in the day with the year sub for,
I did that WoW, too, yeah. Like
every other WoW player almost. And, yeah.
I had a blast with original D3. Like me, like my friends and I love loot games like this for the simple fact that it's like something we can basically be degenerates at for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And like then put it down and pick it back up in 2 months and like not have lost anything. Right. Like it's,
yeah.
Yeah. These sort of loot games are great like that. I'm hopeful. Like Diablo has been a franchise. Like I played literally every Diablo, at least in some capacity. I mean, I lived in Diablo 2. I cheated in Diablo 2. You know what I mean? So like, I really like the series. I mean, I still play PoE, right? I still play D3 seasons. Like every other season, I jump back in. So, I'm excited for D4. Excited for Immortal and a D2 remaster. It would be interesting. I don't know if I'd play it. I don't know if I want more D2, but D2.
Do you pay attention at all to the Diablo subreddit?
Not particularly. No.
So there's two very distinct crowds there that if you've spent any time browsing it, it'll become very quickly obvious. Mm-hmm. There's a set of people that want Diablo 4 to basically be Diablo 2, but prettier.
Okay.
And there's a set of people that actually want it to be a new game. And the people that are just wanting Diablo 2, but prettier are going to be, I hope, very happy. Although I suspect after what happened with Warcraft 3 Reforged, people are going to be tempering their expectations because of that dumpster fire.
It's real bad. I don't think they've ever fixed it, right? Like, it's still bad. No,
it's still bad.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
There's still no ladders or anything. Like,
it's just, I don't know. But, I think that's at least the Diablo franchise, right? So we're thinking definitely some more gameplay cinematics potentially from D4, right? More details just in general. Diablo Immortal release, maybe definitely a date, but maybe released during BlizzCon. And then D2 remastered, maybe an announcement. You know, I think that would, the announcement potentially is just very light in terms of details, right? Just like, hey, we're working on this type of thing. So, cool. So let's do maybe Hearthstone now. I don't know anything about Hearthstone. I have zero.
I'm a little bit into the like card game end of things. Like I pay attention to Eternal and I pay attention to, a little bit to Eternal and a lot more to Magic. Mm-hmm. And by proxy, I hear about Hearthstone some.
Yeah.
No idea, man. I got no idea.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I think at least reading, I read the WoWhead sort of post they put up, right? So I think like BlizzCon, generally they have always released their theme for Hearthstone for the year with BlizzCon, right? And they did announce the Year of the Phoenix and like a new class. So the idea is that we're more than likely expecting probably a new expansion or at least new content update, which for me is fun.
If I remember year before last, basically what they did is they announced the next expansion. Mm-hmm. And they gave like the title for the expansion after that, but no more details about it. Which is like, it's comparable if you look at other games. Like Magic had a thing end of last year, where basically they went, you know, here's what the next set is, and they started spoiling cards and be like, here's the themes and all this, and then they were like, for the other three sets of the year, here's the name and the logo, have fun speculating for the next 6 months.
Gotcha. That's what we probably expect with Hearthstone. They generally haven't done any sort of big items. I think the only thing that interests me is like maybe some Battlegrounds updates. Hearthstone Battlegrounds has been like,
I forgot that existed.
Yeah, it's weird that I came to it late. So it's been really big with my friends for probably the past like month or two. A lot of us gotten back into it. So maybe some updates to that. It's, I don't know. It's the kind of card game I enjoy because I hate building decks and I hate having to spend a bunch of money to get those decks. So it's like the perfect amount of like I can jump in, jump out. So
yeah.
But yeah, maybe in, I don't know. I don't play just on Hearthstone, so I don't know if I care too much. The one more game and then we'll sort of get to the WoW stuff. So Overwatch, I think we already said Overwatch 2 is coming, however, not in 2022.
Hey, not in 2021.
Or not 2021, I'm sorry. Yeah.
2022 according to the earnings call.
Yeah, at the earliest. So again, I think in the past they've used BlizzCons to like basically show like just new trailers or new like story information, right? So and that generally came with like a new map, maybe a new hero, but generally just a new map. So probably similar this year. We may actually get, though, I feel like with them at least bringing up Overwatch 2 on the earnings call, I mean, hopefully we get maybe some, at least some more details on what Overwatch 2 is, right? It's a very weird,
it's a very weird situation. Like, kind of like Heroes of the Storm, a bunch of people in Guild, including me, still play Overwatch. Like, yeah. I don't play the ton. I basically just play with it when friends are on, but like, people are still playing it.
How do you do a two? Because you've put a bunch of money into Overwatch, right? Like, you've bought either bought skins or you put time into that. What happens to all that?
It's, yeah. I mean, a bunch of people were joking that the joke when they announced it was they released a hero that was so broken that they had to make an entire new game to get rid of them. which I don't play enough Overwatch, or didn't at the time, to know what it was that they were talking about. I got no idea. But that was the joke. That was the joke. I don't think anybody else really knows either, because there was a lot of discussion like what happens to all of the skins? What happens to all of that? Yep. At least it's not like League of Legends or something where you have to buy all the heroes individually. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Overwatch 2 is in the construct of Overwatch as a game, right? Just because of that fact where like you're taking a class-based shooter which built its economy on like cosmetics, and now you're going to make a sequel that may not have all the cosmetics, right?
Yeah. And a bunch of people will point out repeatedly that all the cosmetics are going to be built, like when they are designed and the art is done, they're going to be done at higher resolution, higher poly count than what you actually get in Overwatch, because that's just like someone working at a $3,000 computer with a like that's just doing 3D rendering on one model can get a much higher poly count at a decent frame rate than you can in the middle of a match.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily translate, because a bunch of things like skeletons and lighting and all of that technology is going to be changing from one to the next, like almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I guess we'll see what Overwatch 2 is. It's just if it's literally the same game with updated graphics, or like,
yeah,
maybe a new hero or two, like,
yeah,
that might hurt a bunch of people that enjoy Overwatch, right? That sort of play that game. Yeah, so we'll see what Overwatch 2 is, more than likely. Cool. So now WoW news. So I think we talked this in two sections, maybe, like WoW retail and WoW classic. Yeah, because I think that we have some fun at least things that have come out, and then so let's take on this retail first. I think so. A couple things have happened in the past couple days that are interesting. Number one, there is a 0.5 release that was pushed to the CDNs, an encrypted release. Sorry, that was pushed to the CDNs earlier this week. So that's like 9.0.5 or 0.5, right? Generally, in the past, Blizzard has used these 0.5 releases as really like the content, or it's been sort of a mix of like mid major patch content drops, right?
Was it the Mage Tower 0.5?
Mage Tower was a 0.5. They also enabled one of the raids in Legion in 0.5, in a 0.5.
That was the Hellion raid, right?
I believe so, yeah. So it's been like a mix of just generally smaller content pieces that don't, you know, generally include like a full scale like raid tier release, right? So that was pushed out, and it's interesting that it's coming with the first patch, and not a 9.1, which is what we potentially would expect. So maybe we get a minor content patch of something. I don't know. Maybe it's tier sets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember. We didn't really get 0.5 patches that were substantial in any way in BFA.
No, not that I can remember. Like, I think we got something.
A couple of 0.5 patches, but it was just like balance changes.
Yeah.
Some tuning, some Azerite traits getting touched.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we had a 8.0.5 patch, but that's it, maybe.
Yeah, and it's generally the...
Oh, no, we did have one. 8.1.5, which had Crucible of Storms.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they did have the small, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, they were just like small balance update patches.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what this actually becomes, the 0.5 release. I think we definitely hear a little bit about that at BlizzCon. I think we hopefully hear more about what 9.1, it's more than the 9.9. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of what I expect, and this is, again, speculation. What I expect is that we will get two things about retail. We will get basically an announcement, PTR is up for 0.05. And I know I said that for like other games, but this is one I'm fairly certain we will get because they pushed this build as an encrypted build, so it couldn't be data mined. They're going to talk about it. They're going to do an announcement. And then by the end of BlizzCon, the PTR for 9.05 will be up. I am 99% sure that's going to happen. Okay. Then the rest of the WoW retail time is going to be talking about 9.1. And the 9.05 will have some small things. I highly doubt we'll get a raid just because of the fact that it hasn't been out and tested and all of that.
Right.
But we might get, I would expect, probably most likely things, new Torghast stuff, maybe some new story stuff for the different covenants.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It'll be, I'm interested to see what 9.1 looks like. I mean, knowing how they've done new raids in the past, right? It's generally been like coupled with like a new content area. So, and like looking at what we have, right, in terms of like where the next content area is, and knowing what I know about the story, like I feel like the next move is like into the mall almost.
Yeah, I feel like that's been set up, but I don't know that they're going to go straight there, or if we're going to do something, maybe if we don't go straight there, my guess would be Maldraxxus. That's still got enough bad guys floating around.
Yeah. 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 So it'll be interesting to see what the next actual raid tier ends up being. And then, I mean, they've added a new landmass essentially in the past two expansions, right? So the question becomes like, is the mall like the final place we go, or like, is there something beyond?
Or, okay. Hear me out.
Okay, let's see this.
New Covenant, new zone, new raid goes with it.
That's if they do Infinite
Realms of the Shadowlands, they said that repeatedly, God, and I don't know if they were just being like, oh, this is so cool, or if they are dropping hints.
If they do that, like, literally everyone is going to be that new covenant.
I mean, if they do that, everybody that does theory for any class is going to cry. And not tears of joy.
No. Yeah. Oh, God. That would be pretty crazy if they did new covenant. New landmass, I think, I don't know if it makes sense in 9.1. I think they may set up the new landmass in 9.1. Yeah.
So in BFA, as an example, which maybe BFA isn't the best example, actually, BFA and Legion were both the same in that the X.1 patch did not have a new landmass. So 8.1 was Battle for Dazar'alor, did not have a new landmass attached. 7.1 was Nighthold, also no new landmass. But they did have the resolution of the Suramar campaign.
Right.
And that's kind of the 8.1 kind of had a resolution of the war campaign, which technically continued through the rest of it, but like the 8.2 war campaign just was Najatar stuff.
Yeah.
And the 8.3 war campaign was just Nizoth stuff. So I w- I wouldn't be surprised to see 9.1 being, here's more Covenant quests that resolve some more loose threads.
Right, yeah. Yeah, to close it out. So, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully maybe we get a new trailer that has more of like Anduin and sort of what Sylvanas is up to and that type of piece. We'll see. Maybe we'll see the starts of the redemption arc for Sylvanas that we know is coming, because Blizzard literally can't kill off major characters, dude.
Yeah.
Just kill her. Just get rid of her. Like not in the rude sense of like, hey, she needs to die. Just like, she burned on a fucking tree with a bunch of people on it. Like,
yeah, no, they've really done a number on her character. So, before we move on to the classic talk, though,
okay,
predictions. I want predictions. Most likely raid boss next year.
Oh, about who's out there?
Yeah, like current character we currently have going to be a raid boss next year. You get half credit if we kill them by the end of the expansion.
Okay, so we'll have to timestamp this, remember, but I think Kel'Thuzad ends up making a comeback. That would be the one. I think that's the, okay, so sorry, that's the easy choice, I think. That's the choice that makes sense, because like major lore, like major old boss makes sense to bring him back.
Yeah.
I think Arthas is another, actually, so here's a prediction I'll make about I think Kel'Thuzad will be a raid boss. I think Arthas will not be a raid boss. I do not think we fight Arthas.
But he'll show up.
He'll show up, but I do not think he is a boss that we fight. But okay, in terms of like lore characters we've run into that maybe is out there, is I feel like, see, this is where my lore is really bad, is like, can we fight demons in the Shadowlands? Like, I know demons don't die unless you kill them. Unless you kill them in the, what is the demon land area? The Twisting Nether, right? But when they die in the Twisting Nether, do demons have souls? Because here's my boss out thing. Like, I think we fight one of the known demons. So one of like Sargeras's lieutenants. Okay. Like whether it's, I don't know. I don't think it'll be Sargeras. I don't think it'll be like Archimonde or Archimonde. What was the other dude there? I'm so bad at this. But it might be one of the dreadlords below them. So like,
to like a Tychondrius or
like a Tyke or a not Maldraxxus. What's the Mal'Ganis, something like that. Like, I think we fight a dreadlord sort of lieutenant potentially in the next year.
It does fit in kind of as a continuation of some of the storyline from Revendreth as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with some like the Burning Legion stuff there. So that's if demons can be in the Shadowlands. I don't know lore wise if it works, but
I mean, we know that. Denathrius was communicating with the dreadlords, so it would make sense that they probably, if they don't go there when they die, maybe they can just go there. I don't know.
Because of some sort of linkage. But yeah, I think we get a demon lieutenant of like the Maldraxxus Tychondrius level.
Okay. So my prediction.
Yep.
Tyrande.
You think we fight her?
Yep. And I can see it going one of two ways.
Okay.
I think the raid boss setup is basically going to be Tyrande's insane.
Yep. Okay. Fair.
And it's either going to be she's insane and also fighting another boss, and it's kind of like a they are fighting and we're involved kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to just be like we beat the crap out of Tyrande and then oops, she's not insane anymore. I don't think they'll have us actually kill her.
Gotcha.
But I do think they will have us beat some sense into her.
Okay.
As like awful as that sounds when I say it out loud, but
yeah. No. That interesting. I didn't even think to go there. But yeah, that's interesting. Based on
the Night Face story and how they left that unresolved, they're setting us up for failure.
Gotcha.
Setting basically the Night Face Covenant campaign is going to reach the point where, you know, at the end of the campaign in 9.05 or 9.1, it's going to be okay. Tyrande is lost to us. And basically they're going to say, we need to shut this down. Or it's going to be the last step of the campaign, kind of like not literally the last step in terms of gameplay mechanics, but the last step of the campaign is going to be, okay, we weren't able to reach Tyrande in time or get her under control in time. And she is in this Maw raid or whatever, wrecking shit. And we need to go save her. Not save her, but stop her.
Yeah. Like stop. Yeah. Like get her under control. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
that's a little bit of a cop out because I'm kind of being like, well, basically she's going to be in a raid fight, I would
say. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I could see that happening. And I just hope they don't make Arthas a boss we fight. I think because like if he and again, if he's not the final boss we fight in the raid, I think it does that character a disservice. Yeah. It's the same thing where I hated what was the first boss of Warlords of Draenor in that first raid?
Yeah, the head guy of the Shattered Hand.
Yeah. The blade, he had the blade hands.
Yeah.
Shoot. Oh god, I'm not in game. I can't hold on. Anyway, as I look this up, I thought they did him that character a terrible disservice by making him the first boss of the first raid.
Yeah.
Of a new expansion. Because
they set that up with the intro to the expansion. So it was very clearly telegraphed, but also I do agree with you.
I felt like we have
random plants later in the tier. Like have a random plant be the first boss.
Exactly.
You can be like an end wing boss or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was, Oh God. Yeah. Oh, Kargath okay. Bladefist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that, like, I don't think if they do Arthas like that, I'm going to be upset. In terms of like just where he's placed, like if he's the final boss of raid tier, awesome, fight him, great, it'll be cool, it'll be fun. But if he is anything else, like just leave him out, leave him as the thrall of like do some RP somewhere and then like freeze or help us in a fight. Like I'm fine with that. Just don't make us fight him.
Yeah.
So, interesting. That's a good question. In terms of like, yeah, Tyrande. Interesting. That'd be fun. I feel like. I'm getting Sisters of the Moon throwbacks.
Man, I love the video from that. Yeah. Dancing across the line set to this dance track. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I think any other retail predictions? Do you think like we'll get any new fun side area things? Like they haven't done a Brawler's Guild update, have they yet?
I would expect Brawler's Guild in 9.05.
Yeah. So cool. So now on to WoW Classic, which this one's a little spicier, I think. So I think at this point all the classic content's out, right? They did their Nax 40 a couple months ago. Right around actually the actual retail release too. So but there's a lot of speculation that we're gonna see Burning Crusade classic servers. Which honestly,
pet you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so the pet's one of them. There's been a bunch of surveys that Blizzard sent out to asking about like what is the feedback, right? What is like the feedback of like having one of these? Apparently, and this is just sort of some speculation, but there have been some bug fixes, or at least announced bug fixes that were not a part of original Classic, but a part of Burning Crusade that are coming in. So a lot of speculation that we're gonna see BC Classic servers, which to me is a interesting conundrum for how you maintain this cleanly, right?
Right.
So like the idea is, I think there are groups of people that sort of fit in what you want to play and what you want, right? Like Classic was very much a, I want to go back to the beginning type of idea, right? And I think everyone will end up having like their favorite expansion. Like for me, if I was to go back and play an expansion over and over again for the rest of the time, it would be Mists, right? But I'm very much, like, I want to play the Mist that I knew, and I want everybody else to play Mist so I don't have to play by myself, right?
Yeah.
And, like, when they... Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
So, and, like, as they introduce these, like, Burning Crusade Classic servers and regular Classic servers, there's this idea that you're now splitting your player base, right, between people who want to continue and people who want to stay. And then there's the idea of, like, how do you maintain that, right? Like, if I have a Classic character today, do I get to take it to Burning Crusade, or am I starting fresh over there? Or is it, and then it's the idea of like, all right, well, I'm now playing Classic, I'm max level, I've cleared Nax. In the actual like illegal server world, they'll just reset the server. So like, are there server resets coming in Classic? And like, that sort of brings my head down. But I think the biggest thing is like, what do you do with the player base? Do you leave Classic's vanilla Classic servers up and then also maintain BC Classic servers like parallel and allow people to come across as they want? Or do you just do a clean split and say, hey, you can play on these Classic servers, or you can play on these Burning Crusade servers, nothing transfers over, right?
Yeah. I expect them to say, you can take your classic character and you can copy it to a BC realm.
Okay.
And maybe they do a limited number of copies, you know, or just do like, you can copy each character once and then you can't copy it again.
Yeah.
And you got to pay for a transfer. But
that's going to fuck the economy so bad.
I very, very much doubt that they will say, oh, everybody's going to start from one. But I think they've got like they've got the player numbers to support both. My concern is not player numbers in aggregate, it's player numbers per server.
Yeah.
Because Classic is popular. There are still Classic servers, so they're a lot smaller than others.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to see is that they, as that happens, like if they put both up and they leave them both up at the same time, they become a lot more proactive about merging servers to stop it from becoming like graveyard servers like retail has. I know people joke about like there's one group of retail servers where there's like seven different realms in the same cluster, but like
is that the Laughing Skull realm?
I don't know. But you know, they could also do they won't do this because Classic, but
mm-hmm.
I would love it if retail did just like adopted that numeric discriminator number that Discord and like every other service uses, so you get to keep your name.
Yeah.
And there's just a number on the end.
And that's
like VNet uses this too. Like, and just merge servers.
Yeah. I think the problem with merging, and this is sort of where like my head goes with some of this in terms of like how you balance more on like the experience side of things, right? Because there's like actually balancing the game, but like making sure the experience is at least doesn't screw some people over, and sort of that one large server, right? Sort of you lose what made Classic so much fun.
So I'm not saying merge all of the servers.
Okay, just merge like the smaller ones.
Just like take the small ones and say, okay, these two really suffered when PC came out. We're going to combine these two servers. And like, yeah. I'm sorry, but your options are either having nothing on the auction house or having guilds that you didn't have to compete with before on the same server as you.
Yeah. So that is definitely something that I think they have to take a look at. I would still just be concerned about moving your character over. Right.
I could see them asking you to move it. I honestly think they'll just ask you to copy it. Because,
yeah, but then you get and here's where my brain goes immediately, which is like, if I have a bunch of WoW gold in Classic and I can copy my character once, so I'm going to copy my first character with all the gold on it, then I'm going to take that gold, I'm going to send it to my second character, I'm going to copy that character over it, and I'm literally going to ruin the economy because I'm going to come over with, you know, whatever. I know like some people have like 30,000-40,000 gold. I'm going to come over with like hundreds of thousands of gold onto whatever server I'm going with my friends, and I'm literally going to own everything.
Classic has shown us that the economy in BC Classic will be dramatically different from the economy in the original BC. But yeah, you're totally right. People do that on PTR copies when they need to like buy.
Well, that's where they got the idea from. Because I've definitely done that thing where like I've sent all my gold to one character, copied it to the PTR like five or six times, and ended up with like tens of millions of gold, so I could just mess around with whatever I needed. Right.
Yeah.
So that would be the one issue, like the logistics of like doing the character copy. And then the idea that like that's not like a clean transition. So what I actually would like to see is that you literally, like, this might be an interesting way to do this, but it's almost like you take a snapshot of the server and then you basically say, this is now your BC server. So if you want to play all your characters, you are now on Firetree BC, right? But
I could see that. That's actually an elegant solution.
Right. Cause that way you don't run into the issue of like the economy, right? You don't run into the issue of like people like wanting to only play Classic or wanting to eventually move. Right. The problem is you lose then like the transition of a, like I have a cat. Well, I have a character that's like halfway level that I eventually want to play in BC, but I want to finish the Classic experience and then move on. Like, but those are sort of, I think, edge cases, but that might be the potentially the best way to do it in terms of like, you know, hey, we don't want this like economy thing of like allowing character copies to ruin something, or just other things I'm not thinking of too. Like same thing with like mats, or like just, you know, other things that could, I can't think of a bunch of other stuff, but I'm assuming there's some issue about allowing players to like, sort of just copy their characters willy nilly. So the server copies might make sense, or server duplicates, right? It just sucks for like a player if you're like, yeah, I want to play in a new guild in BC, right? I want to have like my Firetree Classic, you know, vanilla folks, and I want to have my like Mug Thor whatever server like BC friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And hopefully the love is there. Like BC, I think was when the game, when I realized the game for me personally was a lot more fun and a lot more interesting than like vanilla was, right? Like,
I mean, this is going to be the real BC experience. It's going to be me taking a character. Well, I guess that isn't the real BC experience for me, but whatever. Just taking a character that I basically leveled through partway through Classic and just taking a level 30 character. And it's like, oh, it's BC now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I will probably end up starting back at 1, right? And I'll go through and like level probably a Warlock again, right? Because that's what I played back then. And
I do that. Wonder. So the XP changes for the new level cap did not come into the game until patch 2.3.
Yeah, that's actually another good. Yeah.
Are they going to start with the 2.3 experience? I expect the answer is actually going to be yes.
Yeah, I wonder if they...
Because otherwise, you have to do literally the entire 60 grind as it is in Classic, and then also another 10 levels on top of it.
Right. And I think what they'll... If they keep the same... Well, the funny thing is I hope they keep the same construct as I did with Classic, which was use the last patch of BC as your starting point, and then layer in content on top of that last patch. I don't know if that ultimately works. The BC patches are a little wishy-washy to me, but I think that's the way you end up doing it. I know they did that with Classic just out of like, they had no other patch data, right? They only had the 1.12 like, you know, executables or whatever. But I think in BC, if they keep that same construct, I think that makes sense, because then you gain a lot of those like quality of life changes that they made over the course of that expansion.
Yeah. And we have seen the stuff like, they didn't introduce Dire Maul until it was appropriate. They can hold off on introducing badge gear and that kind of thing until when it's appropriate in the expansion life cycle.
Yeah. God, I mean, so much fun to like reprogress.
Oh my God. Imagine the retail community. Like, imagine if BC gets a badge vendor before retail does.
That'd be so good. I'm just excited. Like, BC was like when I started to take raiding like actually seriously, because I actually started seeing fights and I was like, this is interesting. Like, doing Brutalis again, while Brutalis is a very simple fight, like, my job on Brutalis was like cycling shamans through groups. Because, like, heroism at that point when we got it was only like group only, right? So, like, you had to like cycle, was it that or drums? Actually, it might have been drums. It was like cycling through like certain buffs through groups because they were group only at the time. And you could still swap groups in combat.
Yeah.
So like that was my role as a warlock, because all I did was hit Shadow Bolt over and over again.
They fixed out of combat resing in Classic, didn't they? You can't do that.
No, you couldn't, but what you could do is you could shift groups. So you could move people from one group to the other.
In actual Classic, you could have someone sit out of combat in a rage instance.
We had a paladin do that.
You can't do that in WoW Classic, I don't believe.
Okay, so they fixed that even before. But they fixed that though late in Classic anyway. So you could do that up to a certain point. What ended up happening?
Really, just been one of the things where, like, 1.12, it was already fixed by that point, so they just inherited that for the entirety of WoW Classic.
Yeah, because eventually you get the.
I want to go play WoW Classic. Like, I was going to go and do more RBGs.
Yeah.
But my druid is still only like level 28 or something. And like,
ooh, that's a tough area to be, because you only have a couple areas to go to level.
It's really bad. It's really bad. But also, like, I'm really tempted now to go put on a show and go do that. But at the same time, Final Fantasy expansion announcement was this week too.
Wait, I know I'm going off
topic here.
What did you just say?
Final Fantasy expansion announcement was this week.
Those are bad F words. Yeah. I don't think we can play those words on the show.
I haven't finished the patch content for that yet, so I also want to go and do that.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. Too many games, too little time.
The fun part of BC would be doing the raids. The unfun part would be actually getting to that point. Because BC also still had the attunement quest, which I hope they don't get rid of.
I never.
So that's the thing, is like they got eventually halfway through the expansion, they got rid of the attunement quest to get into like TK, Tempest Keep, and and Hyjal, right? So they got rid of those eventually, and I hope they don't do that for the start, because that was some of the, like, that's when like I really like the guild got together, because like you had to do certain 5-man dungeons, right, for that attunement. And like we would basically, like, as a guild, like 5 of our strongest players would go in, clear the dungeon. You could cycle people in if you were quick enough. So we'd basically like do Mechagon. I think it was not Mechagon, but
I know what you're talking about.
Whatever the Tempest Keep instance was. Yeah. We'd do that as quickly as we could, and then try and cycle in as many guildmates as we could into that instance so they could finish their attunement. And then like if we didn't get enough, we'd like reset, go back and do it again. Because like do the challenge with dungeons. God, that expansion was like, yeah, I think that's the one that basically cemented like this game is like, hey, I don't think I'll ever find something that hits that itch, right? Yeah. Like doing content, like PV content with a group. So I'm now like nerding out that I really hope that there's BC.
When I started playing WoW, I started playing on private servers, and I actually started playing around the beginning of Wrath. It was like 2.4 is when I really started playing, but the first time I actually like level the character beyond the starting zone was in the start of Wrath, and I was again playing on a private server, basically dead. I saw one other person that I would log on every day, and I would see them when we were leveling through the same content, so that was kind of cool. And then I moved on to a Blizz-like Burning Crusade server. So this is kind of similar to the classic servers that were extremely popular before WoW Classic released.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very heavily involved in that, and that's why I know so much random bullshit about Burning Crusade, despite not actually playing when it was current. And I loved Burning Crusade leveling. Like I enjoy classic leveling. I think the experience rate is just a little bit too low for my tastes,
mm-hmm.
and would like that, you know, whatever, 30% more XP that comes from having the BC stuff. And also, like, so the thing about private servers, anything past classic, there's so many scripts that go into quests. So many quests have things that are supposed to happen. RP, NPCs moving around, talking, interacting with things. Bunch of that stuff didn't work in the private servers, like it just didn't work. Like, and eventually, you know, I worked on development on that, so I worked on some of those quests and we fixed some of them. But stuff like a lot of the what's the ogres, the ogre
faction. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They're in nearly Blaze Edge Mountains. Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah, I mean. I still remember, sorry, just not to cut you off, but crazy quest stuff like that. There's a quest in Hellfire Citadel about a quarter of the way in where you get on a vehicle and you fly around. You just, all you do is you bomb 3 things.
Yeah.
But the first time you do that is the craziest thing ever, because it's like the first quest where you like get on something that flies you around, because you know, you've never flown for a quest before, and you get to like interact with the world below you. Like,
yeah.
Dude.
And like when I was playing on that private server, all the classic quests worked, because, like, let's be real, most classic quests are real dumb.
Yeah.
Like, and even stuff like the, a big thing that people love to talk about is they got the event at the end of, what's the dungeon in Tanaris? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dire Maw.
Stuff like, not right, Dire Maw. But... No.
Tanaris.
Crap.
Oh, Zul'Farak.
Zul'Farak, yes. The event there worked, like all that stuff worked in classic in the private server I was playing on, so like I already experienced the leveling process there, but a bunch of this stuff in the BC zones was just totally broken,
right? Yeah.
So you would pick up a quest, and a lot of them that they knew were broken and were uncompletable, they would just have it so you could auto complete it, you could just turn it in, because they couldn't fix it. And they didn't want it to like completely block you from making any progress, so you could just turn it in.
That's crazy.
So like I am looking forward to actually playing through that. And yeah.
It'll be fun. I mean, I loved all the raids and that thing too. I wonder if with the biggest thing that held me back with Classic was like the time investment to get to a point where you could do like MC and that type of stuff. And I think in BC, it's still there, but I might actually make an effort because I think BC is a better version of.
I mean, WoW. Then again, your Destro or your Warlock, I guess it's not really spec based, but your Warlock rotation at the time was just Shadow Bolt.
Which is amazing. Like, okay, I'll tell you a quick little secret, Emelton.
Like wildly moving people around in groups.
Yeah, I'll tell you, as soon as they changed that with Wrath, I became a paladin and healed. So
that's the genesis of healer and
Yeah, it is. They changed it where I could only hit one button, so I had to find a class where I could only hit one button. Holy Paladin was that at the time in Wrath. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they actually do classic Burning Crusade servers. Like, I'd be down for it. I'd play it for sure. I don't know how, like, my longevity, I don't think is there, right? I'm like, I don't think I'm the target audience for that. Yeah.
I have talked in the past about, like, quitting raiding in retail just because of the time investment that's required. And I don't think I will ever really go beyond pug raiding in the classic games. But if I ever stop raiding in retail, I know I will definitely, you know, still have a sub and still like hop on classic and do some leveling, because that's just like a nice chill game to play. Until we reach like, once we reach like Warlord's level nonsense of leveling, and even mop, like leveling was real dumb.
Yeah,
no longer fun. But first three expansions, I'll take it.
Fair enough. Well, cool. Any other classic teasers? I think this is just the big one, is potentially BC stuff, but we'll see on that front. So cool. I think that's it. Any other hot BlizzCon speculation or takes on what we think?
I'm guessing about raid bosses.
Yeah, the raid boss one was good. So, all right, cool. All right, so then let's move in to I think my favorite section. You ready for this?
Yes.
Q&A. So, as always, it's question and answer time with Emelson and Nam, and we will answer your questions. So you guys can, you know, send these in, whether it's over like Twitter or on Discord, or even jump into the live stream as we do this sort of live on Saturday nights, and ask us whatever questions you want. So we pull them from there and answer them. So the first one is actually going to come from our live audience, and it's from Abbe. And old Abbe asks, could we have a peak eating contest, maybe 100 nuggets?
I refuse to participate.
I also refuse. However, I have done. Abbe asked this specifically because he was a part of an eating contest I did a couple months ago. Did I talk about this?
Not a couple months ago. I don't think.
Well, okay.
When a couple months ago? Is this like September?
Yeah, like September, October-ish time frame. So I did an eating contest with a couple of my friends. We got the great idea that it'd be fun to do eating contests. So I did the nugget challenge. I got destroyed by a buddy of mine. And I think I ate like 50 nuggets and have yet to eat a chicken nugget from any fast food place.
Yeah.
So that was real bad. They were Wendy's Spicies. I, you know, do not do that. Just get regular Wendy's nuggets or maybe McDonald's nuggets. Spicy was the bad choice. That was. And then I also did tacos, soft tacos from Taco Bell. Crushed that. Also have not eaten Taco Bell since then, or any fast food tacos. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Would you do a 100 nugget challenge? Like, would you do the 100 nugget challenge? No?
Not even a little bit. And some of it, like, I actually have a legit excuse. It's not just being a wimp. So, when I ended up in the hospital last year, one of the things that can trigger that is overeating. So,
gotcha. So a health hazard, yeah. We're not hurting Emelson, Abbe. I can't believe you would suggest something like this to hurt him. This is ridiculous.
So, and it's like, now that I know what's it's very easy for me to avoid having things get as severe as they were, and I can like push the boundaries a little bit, but 100 nuggets is like way over the line.
So I will tell you, 100 nuggets is a lot of fucking nuggets. So I brought 100, I bought 100 nuggets for my nugget challenge because I thought I could get through that. It's a lot of nuggets. I literally had like bag stacked on my desk of Wendy's nuggets. My house smelled of Wendy's nuggets. Wendy's nuggets for like a week. Bad idea. So yeah. No, I will not be participating. You can get other people, Abbe, but
again, after I was in the hospital, like I got a bunch of chicken noodle soup because that's like very safe food. Oh, yeah. I still have cans left of that because, like, I don't know, you just eat it a bunch. Mm-hmm. For, like, it wasn't even that long. It was like 4 or 5 days. And it's like, if that's your lunch and dinner, oh my God, it gets old so fast. I have not had chicken noodle soup since. I don't, like, I do not think I could stomach having it right now.
I had a similar thing too with mashed potatoes. And like I had all four of my wisdom teeth pulled at once. And I was so worried about getting dry sockets and like that whole thing of like messing with your teeth where essentially they just like, if you eat something weird and it pulls the scab, it just bleeds forever, whatever. Yeah. So they're like, just eat like soft foods for a week. So I was like, look, I'm just getting a bunch of instant mashed potatoes, super easy to make. I can make them by myself. Awesome. Literally by day two, I hated my life, dude. And I ate them for 5 or 6 days straight. I basically ate them for a week because I went for one appointment and then like I had my follow-up the week later and they're like, you're good. For a week straight, there was a certain point where I was literally putting like hot cayenne pepper on this stuff. I'm like, what other seasoning can I put in it? Like I was using cinnamon at one point just to be like, I need something different. And to this day, I see this. It's a red. It might have been Uncle Ben's. I don't know what brand it was, but it's like this red box of instant mashed potatoes. If I see the grocery store, I literally get sick to my stomach because I'm like, I can't eat like, oh, like luckily I can eat like regular mashed potatoes now. Like I'm good there, but like the instant kind, I'm still, oh, gross. But yeah, similar situation, like where it's just like you eat that same food for like maybe a couple days in a row and you're just like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. And the bad side is like, I can't eat instant ramen right now. Like,
it's
the same thing. And there's kinds of instant ramen that I can't eat because there are other triggers for that stuff. Like any of the super spicy instant ramens, I just can't do.
Yeah. But yeah, God.
The less spicy ones I can do, I just won't because it reminds me too much of the chicken noodle soup.
Chicken noodle soup, yeah. Fair enough.
I did get some pho recently. From the place. And that was fantastic. And I loved it. And I'm going to do that again.
Nice. We should get something in you, but that's funny. Yeah. So yeah, Abbe, no eating contest ever I mean, you can get some other people into this, but Emerson and I are out, I think.
Yeah.
Unsanctioned event. All right, cool. All right. So then we have another question on the list here from Soji. Soji asks, you know, a regular, of course, what were your favorite TV shows when growing up and why? So I don't know, Emerson, if you want to take this first, if you want me to.
I did not watch a lot of TV as a kid. We didn't have cable for much of my time growing up. We had satellite for a little bit, but it was like sometimes we'd have it, sometimes we wouldn't. So there was just a bunch of my childhood where we just didn't really have TV. Like I could watch local stuff, but our antenna sucked and it was really like staticky, so I didn't.
Yeah, I mean,
but from the time that we had it, it was probably Rescue Rangers.
Oh, okay, interesting choice.
Because that was one of the channels we had on satellite when we had it, and like I don't know, of the like we didn't have Cartoon Network, so it can't be a Cartoon Network show.
Yeah.
So it's basically like Disney shows and syndicated shows that show up on over the radio. Or the internet. Yeah, and I guess it's probably that or maybe Arthur, because those are the only two shows I actually remember watching like more than one or two episodes of.
Gotcha. I also have a very bad answer, is that like I did not watch a lot of TV. So like in my house growing up, we got essentially TV time, which is like we got a set amount of time every day we could be on the TV, and eventually became like TV/computer time, like once we got a computer. So it was like in that time, like I literally was like, I'm not, if like fortunately DVRs weren't a thing, streaming wasn't a thing, so like if my TV time didn't overlap with anything I wanted to watch, I didn't want to waste it like flipping channels. So I literally played a lot of video games. Like,
yeah, that was actually some of it too, is like I had a limited amount of screen time.
Yeah.
And well, in theory, I had a limited amount of screen time. In practice, I got way more than I was supposed to, because I was a sneaky child. But I also played a lot of video games. That was actually, I do remember that now, that like I had the choice of video games or TV. And whenever possible, like my uncle gave me his old PS1 with a bunch of games for it.
Oh, nice.
So I play video games.
Yeah. I will say that we did have in my family like a Friday tradition, which was we always got pizza on Fridays. So it was like just our thing. And then we did watch like TGIF. So like if we have to pick a TV show that maybe not was my favorite, but one that I saw a lot, it was like Full House, the Family Matters, which was like Steve Urkel's thing. So it was Full House, Family Matters, the one where they're like a big family and maybe the it was like Tim the Tool, like the Home Improvement. Oh, I think, was that on TGIF?
I don't know.
I don't think so. There was another one after Family Matters, but there was like three shows in a row. It was like Full House, Family Matters, and like something else that played for like an hour and a half. And like that was our like either as we're eating dinner if we were lucky, or like after dinner when like my parents cleaned up and maybe like sat down for a little before it was like time to get ready for bed. Like those were the TV shows I like. I don't know. I didn't wake up and watch Saturday morning cartoons, like, because like while they were people, they're great, but like I don't know.
So my uncle's great. Love my uncle. When he came to visit one time, I remember him, like I didn't get up and watch Saturday morning cartoons, but he was up on a Saturday morning. He was flipping through channels, eating his cereal. He was like, this was at one of the points we didn't have satellite. He was like, your Saturday morning cartoons suck. I was like, okay, I haven't watched them. I guess that's probably why.
I mean I don't like the only, it's funny, like the only shows that really stick out to that I'm thinking is like the Batman animated adventure one. So like there was the Batman animated series, it was a little darker, that like that cartoon was probably like the only cartoon that really stays with me. But yeah, it was like TGIF was like the only time we had TV, and then it was like a lot of just sports. My family was big on sports being on the TV a lot. And then, yeah, video games if I had a chance to actually have the TV. Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, like, I basically, video games were the main thing that I did with my TV time up until the point that I had more computer access and started using that time. Like, when I was 11, I started doing programming stuff. So, at that point, I was able to like argue that, oh, I'm doing something productive so I can get more screen time, right? And that was around the time, like, I think I was 11 or 12 when I started playing MMOs. I found this free Korean MMO called Conquer Online. Oh, I remember that.
Nice.
It's still going. It's still
really?
Up.
You were much nicer 10 or 11 year old on the computer than I was.
Oh, no, that's not all I did. That was one of the things that I did.
I still remember the when we were on AOL, there was like this script you could send people that let you control their computer. So like,
yeah, I never did anything
like that. I used to do that all the time. Like you could like open people's CD drives on their computers or whatever, and like shut it down if you wanted, and all this type of stuff. So yeah, I was a little like script kiddie.
Yeah,
back in the day. So
wow,
I spent a lot of time doing that. So.
No, the worst I did was fork bomb somebody, but.
Oh. Yeah, no, I literally bricked someone's computer. Ow. Maybe more than once. So. Yeah. That's when I really got into like tunneling and being able to like RDP into, not RDP, but you know, like.
Yeah.
Essentially RDP into different machines. And yeah, that was the Wild West back then, where you could just email, like you just ping someone on AOL Instant Messenger. If they click the link, you were in. It's great. And then I got
old days of internet security.
Yeah, it was, nobody cared about anything. It was awesome. But yeah. So Soji, now that we're slightly off topic here, Emerson and I didn't really watch a lot of TV. But we played a lot of video games. So maybe next time you can ask what our favorite video games were when we were growing up.
Maybe instead of favorite, most memorable, because I think I have different answers for both of those.
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe someone asked that. We should.
Ask questions for this show.
It's you could ask questions,
right? Although you did today, so
yes, that's true. That's
a lot of it every week, so
that's true. But
I think that about is going to wrap it up for today.
Yes, our short. So, but before we go through this, the short episode today that was only about an hour and 45 minutes.
2 hours and 2 minutes. We've been live for 2 hours and 2 minutes on Twitch.
Nice, nice.
So it's going to be a little bit shorter than that in the edit because we talked for a couple minutes before we started, but
that's true.
Not if I keep talking.
That's true.
But I think that is going to wrap it up for our show today. Thank you all for listening, either, you know, here live on Twitch. This will be on YouTube later in the week, and it will be up, if you are listening to this on the podcast, on the Peak of Serenity website. If you want to support it and the other work that we do over on the Peak of Serenity, you can do that by supporting us on Patreon over at patreon.com/peakofserenity. Or you can do that by coming and helping out in the community in Discord, just coming and hanging out. Brew Lounge is a good time. Basically any time of day, we've got people from all over the world in there. It's a great place. So
not Miss Lounge or Wind Lounge, just Brew Lounge.
I can't speak to those because, let's be honest, I have those categories muted.
Yeah, Miss Lounge is a cesspool. Don't come hang out with us.
Yeah, I heard Abbe's there.
Yeah, gross.
We've got Abbe and Anom there. Like, how can you? Bad place. Anyway, that is going to wrap it up for today's episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place, for episode 56. Bye.
Bye.